As our children are making their way back to their seats, let us pray before Michelle comes to read our scripture this morning. Holy Spirit, come again. Long ago you inspired and you astonished. Come to us now. Fill our ears with the sound of your breath. Fill our eyes with the brilliance of your presence. And fill our hearts with your good word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning. I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Now that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Yet it was kind of you to share my trouble. And you Philippians yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving except you only. Even in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs and once again. And now, not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. I have received full payment and more. I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. This is the word of God for the people of God.
We've kind of come full circle. Paul begins this letter to the church in Philippi talking about Epaphroditus coming and bringing a gift from the church. And now he's getting around to thanking them for their gift. And again, just as a reminder, Paul's jail experience is not like the jail experience any of us would experience today. If we were put in jail, we would have a small cell, we would have a cot, we would get meals. That was not Paul's experience. He was thrown in a dark cave, a dark hole, and kind of left. If someone brought him food, he would get to eat. If somebody brought him a blanket, he would have some warmth. But other than a guard watching over him, he didn't have anything. And so the church in Philippi heard that Paul had been arrested and he was in need, and so they sent Epaphroditus to watch over him, to help him, as well as provide for any needs he may have. And so Paul is thanking them, and he's getting around to kind of leaving them with some final thoughts. He said, and finally, several times, but we're finally getting to the finallys. Now, I asked our children if they remembered the story of the little engine that could, but do you remember the story of the little engine that could? There's a train engine that is pulling cars and a caboose, and it's making its way through all sorts of different places, and it finally gets to this really large incline, this very large hill, and it begins making its way up the hill. And it's starting to slow down. And it begins to wonder, am I going to be able to make it over the hill? And it sets its sights on the goal of getting over the hill. And it begins saying to itself, I think I can, I think I can, I think I can. And slowly, inch by inch, it's creeping up this hill. I think I can, I think I can, I think I can. And it slowly gets to the top. And when it gets to the top, it finally has a momentum to get over the top and build momentum going down, saying, I thought I could, I thought I could, I thought I could, I thought I could. I think sometimes that's the way we approach life. If I just think hard enough, I can do whatever I want to do. And Paul has a verse Paul uses here, we've seen many times. We've probably seen it like we had it up on the screen. I can do all things through Christ or through the one who strengthens me. But I think too often we put a period where there's not one. I think too often we say, I can do all things, period. And that's the way we approach our life. When I was in junior high, my best friend Jacob, he wrote on his basketball shoes, Philippians 4:13, to remind him of the verse, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Did some of y'all do that too? We didn't win a lot of basketball games. But we think that if we just set our sights on it, if I think I can, I think I can, I think I can, we'll get there and we'll do it and we'll accomplish these goals that we have. But again, I think it's because we put a period where there's not one. I can do all things. That's where our focus is. But Paul's focus was on that second half of that verse. Through the one who strengthens me, through Christ who strengthens me. In fact, Paul writes to the church in Galatia in chapter 2, he says, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. His focus is on the Christ who strengthens him, and our focus should be on the Christ that strengthens us. When Paul wrote, I can do all things, he wasn't writing that I think I can do all things. He was writing and he says, I know I can't do all things. He knew that he couldn't accomplish anything he set his mind on if he just had Jesus helping him. He knew that he didn't need Jesus' help. He needed to get out of the way for Jesus to work in him and through him. What Paul was writing was that he could persevere and endure, but also thrive and overcome every obstacle that was thrown in his way because he was trying to proclaim the gospel. He could overcome and every obstacle thrown in the way of the gospel because he knew Christ was with him. Whether he was full or whether he was empty, whether he had plenty or whether he was in need, whether he was at the top of the world or whether he was at the bottom of the jail, they all were the same to him. Because Christ was with him. He knew that Christ would provide what he needed. He may have some wants. He may have some things that he wished he had at the time. But Christ was going to be with him and provide for his needs. Paul would have said, I can't do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But I can do all things he asks me to do. I can do all things he commands me to do. I can do all the things he wants me to do because he lives in me. And if we go back to chapter 1 of Philippians, to live is Christ. And Paul would say, I can make it through the darkest night. I can endure the hardest losses and I can suffer the gravest injustices, even to the point of death, going back to chapter 1, because to die is gain. to live as Christ, to die as gain. The way the New International Version translates verse 13, I think captures it in a different way, maybe even a better way. It says, I can do all these things, talking about the things that have come before in verse 12. I can do all these things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all this, this being, I know what it is to be in need, I know what it is to have plenty, and I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all these things through Christ who gives me strength. So what about us? What about the things we're facing? What about the struggles we're dealing with? Are we facing them with the attitude of, I think I can, I think I can, I can do all this? Or are we facing life with the attitude of, through Christ, I can endure, I can overcome, I can thrive because He is with me. He is the one working in me and working through me. I'm not going to go and buy a lotto ticket and expect to win the big jackpot because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But I can go out and serve as the hands and feet of God to make a difference in the life of someone. And it may be hard and it may be messy and it may be difficult, but I can do it because Christ is with me, working in me and working through me. This verse 13 we've seen in many different places. We may have seen it written on basketball shoes because we want to win basketball games. We may have seen it on bumper stickers or refrigerator magnets. But do we know what it means? And more importantly, do we live out what it means? Are we allowing Christ to work in us? And while we live Christ working in us, are we being His hands and His feet? Are we being His voice in those dark places? Are we being a beacon, an outpost, showing others someone greater than ourselves? Or do we have blinders on, only seeing what's right in front of us, thinking that this is all that there is? This is the Sunday that we celebrate the day of Pentecost, 50 days from Easter, the day that the Holy Spirit came and moved upon the church. Might this day be another day that the Holy Spirit begins to do something different in us and through us, so that the lives of others are changed, so that the church encounters the world and serves the world in a different way, so that others come into a relationship with Jesus, who they begin to know as their Savior, who they begin to see living in them and living through them for His kingdom. Let us pray. Father God, we thank You for Your Son, Jesus, who shows us what it looks like to live in perfect union with You. Teach us to abandon ourselves to Jesus. Help us to see what it means to live a life with Christ strengthening us. When we have no hope, show us Your way. Lead us into Your path so that we may be completely Yours, come what may. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.